Well, what's up? Isn't that a cute video? It is a cute video. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I don't care what you say, that's cute. Come on, I'm just getting you prepared to preach with me today and make you smile a little bit. So, hey, welcome to week four. As I said on the announcement, next week I'm going to talk a little bit about how to neighbor globally. And so, if you would, just come prepared to make a donation into an investment into the ministry that's happening in Haiti. I'm going down in November with a team of eight. I'll talk to you more about it next week. But I'm going down with a team of eight, and we're going to finish off a church so that they can begin to worship there, as well as lead in worship and ministry at nights. What's really cool about where we're going is they don't hear the sound of instruments. I don't know if they even have one instrument other than like a bongo drum where they are. So the pastor there was telling me that the moment you crank up a guitar or a drum set, all of a sudden the entire village comes, whether they love Jesus or not, because they're coming to the sound of entertainment. But we're not bringing entertainment. We're bringing the sound of worship up into that land. Can I get an amen up in there? So we're going to need some help. We're actually going to try to raise $4,000 to invest in that church so that that church can have a building and a facility there where they can meet every single week. So that's going to be next week. This is week four of How to Neighbor, and I got into a creative slant that I unintentionally got into with naming the titles. So the first week was Love Does, and we still have a few copies of that book. I highly recommend it if you're trying to expand your love capacity. That is a good summer read for you. Pick it up. Let you be challenged by it. I was challenged by it as I read the love extent, the just laying down self and loving our neighbor. That I read as I got into that. So many others have enjoyed it, but what we learned is we've got to love up and we've got to love across. And that's how we show our complete love for the cross, right? We got to go up and horizontal. And then week two, I got into love every. We got to love every nation, tribe, and tongue that lives among us. We got to lay down prejudice, lay down our premeditated thoughts, and just choose to enter in with love. Love every. Last week, I broke down love even. Love even our enemy, and I heard a lot of good feedback from that message that you're stepping on my toes, you're challenging me a little bit, but that is the true gospel, that I have got to love even the most unlovable among me. You know, I didn't even get to finish one of the scriptures that we were referencing, but Peter went into, that's another week, I'm getting all messed up, I'm not going there, I'm not chasing there. Here's what I did here. From two people as I was going to walk out, said, Pastor, I got a problem. I was like, uh-oh. And he said, I love the sermon. I just need to know what happened to the extension cords. If you were here last week, I talked about, I served I worked for a while serving this country music artist. His name was Chris G. I'm just sticking to that. So his initials were CG. And he did me wrong. So I told the story how I decided I'm going to do him wrong. I stole his extension cords like it was nobody's business. This was my pre-Christ days. So I know that's wild. I know that's out there. But I didn't know Jesus yet. I took his extension cords. And I talked about how I tried to enter into worship one day. Had to have been maybe a year or two after I gave my life to Christ. And I remember God trying to bring up Chris's extension cords. And I'm like, I just want to be with you right now, God. I don't care about Chris. And he's like, but I care about Chris. And so I'm bringing up this problem. And I realized I got this problem. I sometimes forget to put a bow on my story. So I'm getting better at that. Y'all pray for me. I got this text from one of our dream teamers who helped us launch the church, but he and his family moved to North Carolina. And he texts me on Wednesday, I got a question for you. What happened to the extension cords? I was like, daggone, that's three of them. I'm starting off this week's message telling you that the Lord convicted me. And I thought it was just extension cords. And I don't even like that guy. He was like, that's the problem. We need to show love. and you need to step out in love. So because he was semi-famous, I had a hard time finding him, but I searched down back alley connections to him because his number had changed, and I finally got a hold of him. I called him up. I'm almost quivering because I'm saying, this is stupid. This is all just over extension cords, and this guy's career needs to go down the drain anyway, you know, did me wrong. You know, I was just trying to cover up my fear of what was going to happen. I was like, what if he, like, tries to sue me, you know? And I'm just like, over extension cords? Get a hold of yourself. You know what I'm talking about. You make up every excuse when you know you got to apologize. When you know you got to own it, it's just like, I don't know, this could go bad. And I called him up, and I was like, hey, Chris, this is Drew. Remember me? He's like, who? And I'm like, don't act like who. You know who I am. You know who I am, right? He's like, who's that? I was like, ran sound for you, did lights. Oh, Drew, yeah, I remember you. Like, you remember what you did? No, let's not go there. Let's not go there. I said, hey, listen, the last few years I really got in touch with the Lord. He was like, that's awesome, man. You got a little religion. I'm like, something like that, yeah. And he said, what can I do for you? I was like, it's more what I can do for you. See, when everything kind of went down, I didn't like the way it went down, and so I did something wrong. I took three of your 25-foot extension cords. The phone just about went silent. But you know how you got to do stuff sometimes that God told you to do, that the world is going, what do you call me about extension cords? Yeah, this brother's living in Louisiana or Nashville at this point. I don't know. And I'm just like, hey, man, I got extension cords with your abbreviations on them. I don't expect you to understand. I just need an address that I can return them to you. He goes, Drew, I forgot about those extension cords. You go ahead and keep them. I'm like, I wish I could. There's just something inside of me I don't expect you to understand. I just got to do what God told me to do. I don't even want to pay for the postage on them things. But I'm just trying to be obedient to God. Come on. Give me the address. I'm ready. And he said this. If that's something between you and the Lord, then let me just release you right now. Yeah, wow. Those extension cords are now yours. And I was like, all right. Thank you. Did what I had to do. Amen. Hung up the phone. I said, honey, we got extension cords to plug in our Christmas tree. Let's go. Come on. I thought I still had them around the house, but I don't. I looked for them. Maybe I gave them away. I just, you know what? If the Holy Spirit doesn't want me to have it, I'll give it to Halo. I don't know. I don't know who I gave it to. I think I gave those away because I couldn't find them. Or one of my girls lost them. That's completely possible as well. Come on. See, the point of reconciliation, the point of forgiveness is there's power in it that both sides feel released. Both sides feel good about it. Both sides feel freedom. And that's got to be the heart of the message as I go into week four, and that is love forgiveness. Oh, I don't want to love forgiveness. Don't we cringe when we know that it's time for forgiveness? But there is sometimes not a more healing practice that a Christian can do than to learn to embrace and to love forgiveness. I'm saying that almost preaching to myself, because when it's a moment of forgiveness, you start grumbling. You know, it's like, it's so easy to tell you that. And then it's just like, I know that I've got to repent for something. I'm just like, yeah, they don't need it. It's just extension cords. It's water under the bridge. What's it going to change now? We've all gotten over it. Everybody's forgotten about it, right? It's all good. And that's what we tell ourselves to try to justify the fact that I know I did wrong. And I know everything might seem right, but I haven't been righteous. And I've got to learn to love forgiveness. See, the reason I love forgiveness so much is many people think that when you become a Christian, you're going to be perfect. And I'm just going to hit you real quick with that, that God can perfect us. He can take away all my past sins, but that doesn't mean that I am going to be perfect from this moment forward. Now, through forgiveness, he can restore unto me the perfection that he gave to me. But at best, we're momentary perfectionists. At best, we're momentarily right with God until we realize that there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit that tells me that you done wrong. I love the psalmist David because sometimes we know we did wrong. But sometimes, like David said, God, forgive me of my unrepentant sin. In other words, the violations against my neighbor that I didn't even realize I caused. You ever had an attitude? You ever been short with somebody? Ever said the wrong thing before? And you had no idea you offended or hurt somebody because that wasn't my heart. But then I realized after the fact, oh, crud, I didn't realize that. It's not at all what I was trying to say. And I realize now I hurt you. Forgiveness is a powerful tool of heaven. And running is a powerful tool of hell. Because hurt people walk around hurting people. And when we don't own the hurt that we've caused for some, we can act pious. Oh, I'm right with God. I've not done wrong. And you're like, yeah, what about your person that you left lying on the road back there? You hurt them, and forgiveness is in order. Can we put it off perpetually, please? Here's why we can't. Two reasons, real quick, you can't put it off. Number one is they need it. There was this great story by Ernest Hemingway who talked about a Spanish father and a Spanish son, and they got at odds ends with each other, and the son ran away. And the son was hurt and needed forgiveness from a father like so many people do. You don't understand the need for the sons to return to the fathers and the fathers to return to the sons. Hey, that kind of sounds biblical. It's because there's a need for forgiveness and healing. There's wounds out there that we don't show on the outside, but our soul is hurt on the inside. And he tells this story of the son who ran away, and the father decided, I don't care what our differences is. I forgive you, and I'm going to ask you to forgive me unconditionally. And so he couldn't find his son named Paco, and he lives in Spain. And so he went down to the Madrid newspaper, and he took out an ad that says this: Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven of you. The very next day at noon, Ernest Hemingway writes that 800 men named Paco showed up to receive forgiveness from their father. I wonder sometimes if the Holy Spirit wouldn't open our eyes to the wounds of our neighbors. And the wounds that we've caused, we got to own them. We can't run from them, and we can't run into the church and worship, and oh, that's a good word, Pastor, but if we don't put love in action, and it starts sometimes with forgiveness. Why? The first reason is because they need it. We don't need any more hurting people hurting other people. Number two is you need it. You need that kind of forgiveness. Why? Because freedom looks good on you. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, freedom looks good on you. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Freedom looks good on you. How do I get my freedom? Well, sometimes I got to get my freedom by being released from the issue, the elephant that I know is in the room. Because freedom looks good on me. Psalm 15 says this: Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless. Verse 3. The one who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slurs on others. Well, Pastor, screwed that one up already. Guess I won't end up in heaven. Remember this. You're never too far gone. The Holy Spirit is a God who is not of condemnation but of conviction. Because if you've already screwed this up and you say, well, I might as well continue doing wrong because there ain't no going back. I screwed this one up. How in the world do I get it right? Remember this. We can restore blamelessness when we add repentativeness. In fact, here's an equation for you I would love for you to take a picture of or take in your notes. Guilty plus repenting equals blameless all day, every day, 7 days of the week, baby. Any of my math people up in here, I like good equations. I like math because it's fact. You can't change it. It's not opinionated. Well, here's a math equation for you. Guilty plus repentative equals blameless all day long. Blameless before your Father in heaven. Blameless to your neighbor and to your enemy and to your family member and to your children. Oh, sometimes we have trouble even forgiving ourselves. But you've got to remember this if you're walking around in self-condemnation, that if you are guilty and you've brought it before the Lord and you've brought it before your victim, then remember this. You are blameless. Blameless. I've got to let it go, because if God can forgive me, I've got to learn to forgive me. I got to own my part, but they need it and I need it too. So come on, let's get into this, the practicals of this. There are four factors of forgiveness, and I want to give you something that you can carry home today, put it into practice right away. This is something that is near and dear to my heart, because as I read the word and as I was turned on to the heart of forgiveness and to the power of forgiveness, this is something that I have chosen that I will make a priority. I don't like it. I don't run to it. I don't want it. I prefer that I not hurt somebody in the first place. And if I did, I prefer to act like I didn't hurt them. But I am going to make it a priority in my life and also our family that we are going to walk in these four factors of forgiveness. In fact, if you come over and visit our house sometime, if there was a camera, we don't get everything right, but you're going to see sometimes we get this stuff right to a humorous state. All right, so here's what it looks like. In your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 50. There's a story that we get past Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob has 12 sons. And one of his sons' name is Joseph. And Joseph is the brown noser. Joseph is the favored one. Joseph is the one that all the other brothers go, oh, here comes Joseph. He's got such a beautiful coat because dad gave him a fancy coat, a distinguished coat. I didn't get no coat like that. How come he got a coat that I don't have? And so he was picked out by the brothers, even though he was one of the youngest of the 12. And in his walk, God starts showing him dreams. There's going to be a day where you're going to lead and your brothers are going to come bow down to you. Joseph did one of the stupidest things I ever know that you can do. If the Lord's hand of favor is on your life, you don't walk up to others and go, I'm more distinguished than you. God loves me better. You are going to bow down to me one day. That's what my God said. You want to serve the same God? No, I don't want to serve the same God. I feel like throwing you into a pit somewhere. That's exactly what they did. The 11 rallied together and they threw him into a pit in the middle of nowhere. Then one of them, Reuben, got all emotional about it because he was his true brother. And he was like, hey, let's not throw him into a pit. Let's let the young lad live at least. He thought he was, you know, compromising with God. At least I didn't kill him. And so they only did sell him into slavery. And he became a manservant for Potiphar in his house. But God blessed him. And he became the second highest man in charge until Potiphar's wife tried to run game on him. And he tried to run from that game. And he got all up in trouble because she said that he did what he did not do, that she said. And so they threw him into the prison because of an accusation of adultery. Then at that point, he became the highest servant slave in the prison, and eventually, after a few dreams, he was promoted to be the number one, the number two highest distinguished person in the kingdom of the most powerful kingdom of that day, and that is Egypt. He became Pharaoh's right-hand man because he got promoted. See, I'm going to ask my boy JT to come up here, and I want to illustrate a little bit of what forgiveness looks like, because I want it to stick with you. But here's what Genesis chapter 50 says. It says, after Jacob died, Joseph's brothers, I forgot this part of the story, Joseph saves all of Egypt and the surrounding areas. What I love about that is, what does it look like when the church, I'm believing that the church in Salisbury can rise up and become a beacon of hope, not just for Egypt, but all the surrounding areas as well, right? I have a vision that we can impact people for the love of Jesus Christ, that they can find forgiveness and freedom of their pain and their prisons. Can I get an amen up in here? What would it look like if you had to go to Egypt? We'll just redeem Egypt. Oh, that's so deep. Anyway, I'm not going there. I'm somewhere else. Okay, Genesis chapter 50, it says that those brothers came and they needed the food that Joseph provided for them. And this is what it says. After Jacob died, Joseph's brothers said to each other, what if Joseph still remembers? What if he still hates us and wants to get even with us for all the cruel things that we did to him? After all, Daddy's been our go-between. He's kept Joseph from killing us, but if I were Joseph, I would have killed me a long time ago. I know I did him wrong. I know I hurt him. And to illustrate what they did is when they threw him into the pit, they just said, come on, boy. God, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. How's that feel? In the pit, out of my life forever, you like that? And sometimes there's a moment of rush where we can not realize the pain we've caused. This is so easy to see, but what happens when it's just name calling? What happens if it's just slight? What if it's just envy? What if it's just jealousy? What if it's insecurity that's been taken out on him? What if it's something intangible? This same state is happening on the inside of someone else because I hurt him. But I like to ignore it. I like to walk the other way. I like to just cross on the other side of the street because I don't want to deal with this. I know I did wrong, but he'll get over it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, they'll get over it. Why am I saying that? No, because we can think that. And Joseph's brothers said, he'll get over it. But they ran from it for so long that at some point they had to do number one and realize this. Realize you hurt someone. The first factor of forgiveness, you're going to need to write this down. You better start by realizing you've hurt someone. Nobody wants an apology when you walk up and just say, if you're so sensitive that you took offense to the things I said, because you're so weak and because your flesh, your skin is so thin. If that's going to bother you so much, then I'm sorry. Nobody wants that kind of apology. If we're going to be the people of God, if we're going to be the followers of God, we got to first understand this, is that I've got to realize that I have hurt somebody. I can't run from it so long. But this is where it starts, realizing that, wow, when I hurt him, I took his security. He was feeling pretty good in my presence. Now he's not so secure in my presence. I took his man card. Because some of us men are like, oh, I got his man card now. He ain't going to be messing with me no more. I laid down the business. They know who's boss now. No, but see, you took something and you're trying to walk in a power trip that sometimes we try to act like isn't there. I have messed with his self-esteem. The trust factor is no longer there. I have caused him pain. His pride, I just took it from him. And my water, I just took it from me. I took his pride. And we can walk around and put it in our pocket like, remember that. In the schoolroom, it looks like this. I got into a fight, I won. He ain't gonna be messing with me. He ain't coming on my hallway no more. In society, it looks like this. This is my side of town. Don't be coming up in this side of town. In your workplace, it can be, this is my realm. I get coffee before you get coffee. Little sick, little pride trip, right? In your marriage, it can be like, don't forget, I can talk louder. Oh, I can put it on. Your kids, don't forget who's boss. Don't forget who's boss. Why? Because I'm daddy. Because I'm daddy. How many of y'all like that one? Because I'm your mama. And what you're doing is just taking the trust away, taking the esteem away, taking the security away because I no longer feel safe here. See, we first have to realize we hurt someone. This is what it says in Psalm 38:18. It says, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Please, I plead with you, whether you love Jesus or not, before you go ask for forgiveness, please stop and be troubled by the sin you caused. I work with people over the years of ministry, and they're like, I don't know why they won't forgive me. I asked a million times, hey, forgive me. Hey, are you listening? These ears working? I said, I'm sorry. Why won't you forgive me? I've got our kids. I told you, we play this out at home. And I think our kids miss this one sometimes. Go to timeout and think about what you did. They come back after their time's gone off. Hey, your time's up. Come back. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? For what? I don't know. For sitting and coloring. No, go back to timeout and think about what you did. What did you do? Why were you there? Have you even thought about why this is a problem? No. Awesome. Congratulations. You learned the lesson. I got to understand what it cost, what it did, right? This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. The pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants for his people. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants sorrow for you too. Really? I thought it was all joy. I thought it was all freedom. Your freedom starts with sorrow. You've got to feel what you've done someone else. And the natural response for feeling sorrow is to recognize, the natural response to recognizing pain is recognizing the need for repentance. I can't pick these up without realizing I hurt him. So we've got to become people who realize godly sorrow brings repentance. Write this down. Sin hurts God, sin hurts others, and sin hurts you. Sin hurts God, others, and you. So he will bring godly sorrow into our life to make things right. And that's what Jacob's brothers, that's why they repressed it so long. They wanted to act like, there ain't no pain. I only threw him in a pit. He's fine with it. He's not wearing that. I didn't cause any trouble. I just sold him into slavery, made a few bucks. I didn't kill the lad. He's all right. There's no way he can still remember that. See, they actually had to pick it up, even if it's been decades since they realized, I did this to you a long time ago. Which brings me to write this down. We've got to sympathize, empathize, and realize the cost of what we've done. We've got to sympathize, empathize, and realize the cost of what we did before forgiveness begins. Which brings us to number two. It says in verse 18, Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to the ground in front of him and said, we are your slaves. Number two, when approaching to apologize, show humility. Show the humility that you just felt. I've got to get to a point where I stand him up, and if anything, I bow down because I realize after collecting all this stuff, I realize how much I hurt you. You have no right to forgive me. I took your man card, for goodness sake. I don't even like talking about it, right? It's kind of embarrassing, but I took your man card. And so I understand that you probably are having trouble trusting me. I understand that your security around me, there's probably weird vibes in the room. I did that. And so I've got to show humility. Another word for it is be authentically sorry. How we like it in our marriages where it's just like, oh, you need a sorry? Sorry. Let's move on. Or better yet, you need a sorry. I know what it cost. I ain't giving you one because I don't want to admit it. I don't want to humble myself. You know what that is? That's pride saying, I can't bow down to her. I can't bow down to him. I can't make this thing right. It's getting quiet up in this Lutheran church. Come on. There's nothing worse than sorry for the sake of getting out of it. Are you paying attention? Because I'm only going to say this once is the mentality, you know? Humility. All right, here it is. It's only coming once. Sorry. Got it? Cool. That's not what people are looking for. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this. Worldly sorrow which lacks repentance results in spiritual death. I wrote this down. God knows the difference between worldly sorrow and godly sorrow, and so does your victim. When you try to act like, oh, I'm sorry, but I'm really just sorry because I got caught. I'm going to lose my job if I don't tell you sorry. So here we go. You ready? Everybody listening? Here we go. Sorry, bud. All right, cool. I'm holding on to these. right? So can I keep my job? Can this family go back to normal? Can everybody just get along? It's because I'm trying to hold on to it, and I'm just trying to deal with worldly sorrow. You caught me, but God knows the difference, and so does your victim. They're like, "That you didn't mean that. I know it still hurt. I have had to repent sometimes where I wish I could have repented with just worldly sorrow." Because it's a little easy, right? Hey, sorry. Come on, we do that with our little girls, right? Now that you've gotten out of time out, you need to go tell them you're sorry. And they go, "Sorry, will you forgive me?" All right. Actually, they do a fantastic job. They feel it. It's cute. I wish I could have videoed it. They go, "Sorry, will you forgive me, Amia?" "Yes, I forgive you." All right. And then they go right back to playing. I wish sometimes we could be more childlike. Right? All right. It's cool. Let's go skip together somewhere. Give us a cup of coffee. A mom says to her daughter when she finds out she was bullying other children, this is a story I heard, "Pick up that glass vase and throw it on the ground." And she did. And she threw. And she said, "Now throw it on the ground." And she did. And she said, "Now say sorry to the broken pieces." And the daughter says, "Why?" And she says, "Just do it." And the daughter says, "Sorry to the glass." And she says this, "Is it back to being one piece again?" She said, "No." She said, "Sometimes sorry is not enough." Right? We've got to own it, we've got to feel it, and we've got to feel it enough that we feel that I don't want to do this again. This is going to bless some marriages. This is going to bless some parent and children relationships. This is going to bless some workplaces. Come on. Number three, it says, "Before our daddy died, he told us, you must ask Joseph to forgive you. Now we ask you to please forgive the terrible thing we did." Number three is this: ask, don't tell them to forgive you. I took something from you, so I put you in a vulnerable position, so I'm now going to return it because the goal is to heal the one I've hurt. I'm now going to get in the vulnerable position. You have the right to reject me at this point, and now I'm going to ask you, will you forgive me? Instead, I'm not just going to say, "Hey, forgive me." All right? Hey, we can brush by this one so easy because it's so easy. Listen, it's so easy to ask repentance for God. We knew you had to get it right with God. And so you have a moment in your bedroom. And you're like, "God, I don't know why I did that. That must have hurt. I'm sorry." And God says, "All right, it's forgiven, but you should go settle it with your brother." And you're like, "I don't want to settle it with my brother. They'll get over it." Right? And so you think that just kind of going and going, "Hey, sorry, it's all good, and we're better." No. See, this is where hell wants to stop you the most. All of hell seems to break loose and fight against you whenever you go, "Hey, I realize I hurt you. I realize I did something wrong. And so, that's good enough. You feeling my vibe, right? I don't have to ask you, right? Hey, forgive me, all right?" See, that's not vulnerable enough. When you give them permission to reject, now it gets vulnerable. Will you forgive me? Those four words will be the hardest words to bring up in your relationships this week. I'm telling you, it gets so difficult to fight. But here is what we're trying to do. So write it down and say it three times. Give back what you took. Come on, say it with me. Give back what you took. Come on, say it with me. Give back what you took. Tell your neighbor, give back what you took. See, asking is giving back what I took. It brings me to number four, and that's this. It says in verse 19, but Joseph told them, "Don't be afraid. I have no right to change what God has decided." Here's the fourth factor of forgiveness. And this is where JT and I have got to swap roles. The fourth factor of forgiveness is that, because we want to stay in the first person here, all of those were when we have caused the guilty problem. But here, now on the other side, whenever somebody else has harmed us, the fourth factor applies to us here. We swap roles and we have to give forgiveness. It's so easy to go, "Oh, you realize now." And you understand that that wasn't just words. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words never hurt. Yeah, right. And so I tell you what, now that you're offering, I kind of like you in this position because I felt vulnerable. I felt like the bully. So let me bully you a little bit. Let me keep you there as long as I can. And so what we can do is we can look at it and just go, I'll keep it. Because I like you there. Doesn't this position look good on him? Hey, did everybody hear what he just had to say? No, I don't forgive you yet. Come on. Let's be real here. I have this problem sometimes at home. It hurt. I want you to feel it a little bit longer. Will you forgive me? I'm not ready to. Give me 30 more minutes. Because I like it when you say you're sorry. Could you say it 3 more times? See, we actually have to choose to give the forgiveness. I release you. I love what one author says. He says this, forgiveness is releasing someone from the right that they have to apologize or owe you anything else from this point forward. The price of forgiveness is I am letting go of the right to require a payment or an apology for a wrongdoing. Sometimes you have to choose to forgive before they've ever asked. Why? Why would we do that? Because why would God do that for me? Even while I was still yet a sinner, he sent Jesus to die for me. Why in the world would he do that? Wouldn't he go, hey, you gonna get right down there before I make him leave his throne, before I let you kill my son? I'm telling you right now, I love you guys. I have been praying for you guys. But if it comes down to you or one of my daughters, I love you. I hope all the best for you. You know how painful it would be to lose one of my own? I just love them too much. I love you guys. I've been praying for you, but I love them too much. Why would God give his one and only son when there's still an uncertainty in the air if you'll ever repent of what you've done, if I'll ever repent of what I've done? And so he chose to go first and give forgiveness before I ever thought to ask for it. And if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we have got to choose, even if they don't find themselves in this position, I choose to forgive. I am going to release them. What does that mean? Let's be very real. This means this: let go of the right for him to ever ask for a repayment or for me to expect repayment or for an apology. I love about the story of Joseph that it seems like he did that years ago. That as his 11 brothers came and asked for food, there was no throwing shade at them. Like, I've been waiting for this day. I just wanted to reveal who I am because y'all gonna pay. I'm the second most powerful person. Now that you're feeling it, how you like it when the tables have turned? There's none of that in the story. Joseph instead says, here's food. Here's provisions. Here's a house. Here's a place to live. Here's a safe land. And so we have got to choose to give forgiveness before it's asked or when it's asked. Come on, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes as I close in.